I encourage you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to our passage here in Psalm 9 and verse 10. Psalm 9 and verse 10. I want to reiterate this important truth that is given to us here in this particular psalm. The psalmist there rejoicing in the greatness of God and specifically in His name. And His name is mentioned there, Yahweh. It's translated in our King James Bibles, Lord. It's all caps, which means that it is relating to the name Jehovah, Yahweh, which means the eternally existent one. A partner word, a sister word, is I am. In the Greek language, it's ego eimi. You find that whenever the Masoretic text is translated into the Greek Septuagint, ego eimi is used, I am that I am, to describe the name of God. And don't ever forget that. I am is a name. And it expresses the fact that He is the eternal present one. He's always in the present. I want you to think with me for just a moment before we read this verse. Go back in time. And you go back to the beginning of creation, and there's God. Is there anything behind God, a time point in God's existence? No. The only reality is God Himself. Now, we have no idea if there were other universes and other people groups and so forth. God hasn't shared that with us, but I can tell you this, God has always been.
Amen.
That is reality. You know, there's a great study called metaphysics, which seeks to understand our existence here upon this earth. But I want you to know something. That is almost a fool's errand. Because man's existence on earth is always finite. You know, if we were to go back 150 years ago and go back and have all your ancestors sitting here in the church, they would tell about their lives, how they lived, how they rode wagons to church or rode a horse, how they didn't have fancy air conditioning. They had big, tall windows that they would push up the windows, and everybody was issued fans to keep cool in the service. Makes you thankful, does it not? But you know what they were studying? Same Bible and the testimonies of that. We've just gotten more sophisticated. And we think we know more about humanity and the existence of man. But I want you to know that is a very weak place to begin. We need to study the existence of God and understand and know that He's always been and always will be. He predates anything that this earth has, and He will postdate anything of this earth. He will just continue on. And by the way, you have a beginning, but you don't have an end. That part of eternality God's given to you, if you come to Him in faith in Jesus Christ, you will always have eternal life.
Amen.
You will always be with the eternal I am. That is such a glorious thought. That Jesus is the center of heaven. He's the center of the universe. He's the light of heaven. And we will enjoy Him forever and ever and ever and ever and never get bored. What's the problem here on earth? We get bored. Have you ever started a television program and said, well, that's a boring movie. Click, click, click. Go over to something else. I did that just last night. I was watching an old-timey Western and it was moving so slow, I was waiting for somebody to get shot. And it just wasn't happening. And this went on and on. And this cowboy fell in love with this girl. But then there was another girl that he fell in love with. And I said, I don't care about that. Let's have a shoot 'em up time here. That's why I turned on the West Channel. So I clicked over to another Western. They had a good one. So I was mesmerized by that. I know that that's pretty shallow. But I want you to know something here. You'll never get bored in heaven. Because you're going to be in the presence of the one that's the eternal I am. And you'll never find a worn out facet of His glory. Let that sink in. Notice this verse. This is such a powerful verse in the Old Testament. It tells us something. And they that know thy name. Are you enamored with the name of God? The I Am, Yahweh, the eternally present one. Those that know His name will put their trust in Him. This goes back to Mr. O'Pager. When you realize that there is a name above all names, and that that name made all things, He's the Creator God. We're all built with this internal thing we call conscience. Romans 2 talks about this. We don't talk about it enough. We were given a gift. And that gift is, there are certain parameters you're born with and you just know intuitively something's wrong. You know that. As a child, when you cheated on a test, you knew it was wrong to do it. But you did it anyway. Yeah. There are certain things. Conscience. Conscience is an awareness of moral values. Where did that come from? Who is the moral value? It is God Almighty. Who establishes morals? God does. He built them into His universe. What brought disorder? Sin, lawlessness. That's what caused the upheaval of the earth that blew out. And all the things that we learned out. What caused that? Judgment for sin caused that. And God said, I'm never going to do that again with water. I'm never going to do that again. It was, the flood, folks, is the most horrendous event in history. It really is. Because it shows the justness of God's actions against sin. And those that will not have God. But God said, I'm going to put a bow in the sky. And that will always be a reminder that I'm not going to judge the world with water again. That was a point in time that the eternal God, the eternal I Am, stepped in and said, I'm going to start all over again. Now you talk about an expression of mercy and grace. He didn't have to. He could have just canceled earth, moved on. But instead, He brought judgment to the sphere and He allowed 8 individuals to survive. I was talking with Brother Lauer this morning. I said, isn't it amazing? I said, everybody worries about how in the world could the ark survive all the events that took place on this earth with the upheaval that took place, all these things that the Bible says, how can the ark survive? It's called God. The eternal I Am was with them every inch of floating that they did on this earth. And then to bring them to the place where they came down. People worry about, oh, the winds blowing it all around and the waves rocking it back and forth. And it would have just been unbelievable chaos and confusion. Not when God's directing. The supernatural element must never be lost. And how God directed that ship and brought it to its landing spot. It wasn't, I don't think it was up in some rocky crag where they were going to be in danger trying to get that out of the mount. He put them down in a place where they could easily egress. But it was still up in the mountains. By the way, the mountains of Ararat is not just one hill. It is a region. And they believe that they have found that spot, a ship-like structure. They bore down and they have found gopher wood. Elements of DNA from gopher wood. They've found all kinds of things. And it's on this plain up in the Mount Ararat, but easily accessible to go. And there's remnants of buildings that were built near the ark. Could it be that Noah and his family lived there? I don't know. But I do know this. I can speculate till I turn blue in the face. But I know this. God kept them safe. And God allowed a new, fresh start. So we're reminded here that those that know the name of the Lord will trust in Him. What's the second part? For Thou, Lord, Yahweh, there it is, the eternally existent one, has not forsaken them that seek Him. The one who knows no time takes care of those in time. Isn't that wonderful? The one who knows no time takes care of those in time. And that can have two meanings, in time, just when you need it. What a glorious Lord we serve. I want us to think, last time we talked about the beginning of this seven implications of the divine I Am. Number one, that God exists. Or we could say it this way, God is there. He's always there. He was there for our forefathers. My dad has provided us with information through the years, and we did a DNA sampling thing that Caroline did for our family. It goes back generations, and David Brainerd's in our family line. Do you know what God did? God saved David Brainerd, and even though he died at the age of 29, he had the Bible, and he knew Christ. God took care of David Brainerd, the same God that's taking care of us today. He knows no time. He spans the ages. God is there. So there are anthropologists that say, we need to study man so we can know better. We can have the victory of all the woes that are in this world, and we can have a utopia built upon our knowledge of man. You're a fool. The knowledge of man will bring you to one conclusion. Man is a mess. He's an absolute mess. We are constantly shooting ourselves in the foot with stupidity and lawlessness and corruption. People, they've been talking about all the fraud that we have in the United States, of all the stolen billions of dollars by that. And people are saying, we should not be accusing these people of stealing. Well, what do you call it then? We have a moral dilemma in our country right now. We can't call theft, theft anymore. Somehow, we're being accusatory. Somehow, we're not being fair. Somehow, these people really needed that money that they stole and took overseas and gave it away to criminal enterprises. What's the problem? Man is corrupt. If man is corrupt, is there any hope for him in and of himself? If after every generation, every generation, every generation comes to the same end, hatred of God and lawlessness, how is it going to end? How's it all going to end? Judgment. Judgment upon the nations. That's the last aspect of judgment, by the way. Not individuals necessarily, but nations who have rejected God. It's, nations are made up of individual people. Don't misunderstand me. But who come up against Israel in the Battle of Megiddo? Armageddon, as we call it. The nations of the earth gather there, and they seek to wipe off the face of the earth the people of God, Israel. God's chosen. And Jesus comes down and mops up the ground with them. Now, is God being ungracious? No, He's preserving righteousness. That's going to be the capstone of His kingdom that He establishes here upon this earth. God is there. It's already played out in God's mind. He showed John everything that was going to happen in the future. How could He do that? Because He's God. He's the eternal I Am. So He is there. Most important truth about God. There's not a point in time. There was an old saying that used to be, in the manifest destiny period of our country, no God west of the Pecos. Anybody hear that statement before in your history book? There was no God, and then somebody reported back, says, when we got to California, we found that God had already been there. Manifest destiny, there's no God west of the Pecos. It's just bad stuff. They got there and they saw the beauties of God's creation, said God was here before us. A reminder, the eternally existent one. Then we looked at this. There's no reality that exists behind God. If you go back in time and you keep going back in time, you keep looking for something, some originator back there for God, and you're disappointed because there is no originator back. He just always is. That truth, folks, will stop you from whining. Can I say that again? The truth of the I am will stop you from whining. God just doesn't understand my problems. Really? He doesn't understand? He understands exactly. That's why he determined before the foundation of the world he was going to send his son. Because he understood the things that we were going to get into. Understand something about the human body. It's going to get sick. It's going to get cancer. It's going to have strokes. It's going to have all these things. Our thinking is, it won't happen to me. Is that honest thinking? No. I remember Bob standing up on the pulpit, up there on the upper platform, preaching to us kids, going to a birthday party for his son David. David was in my class. We went over to their house, and Bob, he was active. He was a sportsman. Fisherman. I mean, he did everything. And now it's hard for me to grasp and know that Bob, that I saw jump up there and hit shots and go fishing with cast nets and do all those things that he used to do, is now almost unable to walk. What's the reality? That's where we're all headed. That's where we're all headed. The last survivor of Pearl Harbor passed away this past week. The last survivor. Now you think about that. Once young, he was 104. When he passed away. We would like to think that we're going to live in this physical body forever and ever and ever. Well, in a sense you will, but it's going to be a new body, praise the Lord. But this body that we have right now is under the curse. Therefore, we need to come to this reality. I am weak, but he is strong. I am weak, but he is strong. How many of you remember Charles Atlas? Any of you remember Charles Atlas, the big bodybuilder from the 40s and 50s? And he was in pictures in magazines all over the country. Charles Atlas, and he always had these big, huge muscles and so forth like that. Guess what happened to Charles Atlas? He got old and died. I think about years ago, I was at the convalescent center. And they had a picture of the 1940 beauty queen, Milton, Florida. She was in there. She was in her late 80s, and she didn't look anything like what she did when she was a beauty pageant. What happened? Gray hair and a wheelchair, wrinkles. And they had her picture there in the 19 winner of the pageant, beauty pageant, right? We need to know this reality. Behind God, there is no beginning. But behind us is. Let that be a reminder, Christian, that even though this body is failing me and this body will one day die, that I have the eternally existent one that's guaranteed absent from the body, present with the Lord, if I've trusted in the eternal I am. That's why you need to know him. Let's not dance around all kinds of themes with people and try to convince them of this, that, and the other, when all we need to do is point them to Jesus Christ, the eternal I am. I usually begin with, do you know you're going to die? Well, that's kind of a negative thought, but do you know you're going to die? Do you know some people haven't come to grips with that? You ask them, do you have a will? Well, I don't need one now. Oh, really? I don't need one now. How many people do you know that live with that mentality? I don't need a will. Well, guess what's going to happen? If you don't have a will, it's going to go to probate. And then everybody's going to be fighting over what little bit you've got left on this world. They don't want to come to grips with what? Reality. But then there's the eternally existent one, the I am. And behind him is nothing but just more of the I am. You just keep going back and there's more of the I am. It just never ends. And when you look to the future, there's more of the I am. Who are you going to trust in? Some philosophy? Some idea? Some thought you had? No, you better be trusting in Jesus Christ alone, the eternal I am. And we didn't get any further than we did last week. But I want you to know something. There's more to come about the I am, Jesus Christ, the eternal I am. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessed word. Lord, would you help us to come to grips with the fact that in this sin-cursed body, we face death. That reality is there. But there's another reality that trumps everything about this world and about our physical life, and that is the eternal I Am, Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to be in love with Him. Oh, how we need to be resting in Him. Not worrying about, well, I wonder if I'm going to get sick this week, or if I'm going to get cancer, or if I'm going to have a stroke, or I'm going to have a heart attack. We worry about all these things that we know will probably happen. And we need to be resting in the living Christ. What a difference He'll make in our daily lives. I pray that you'd stir us up to that wonderful name. All those that know the name of the Lord shall trust in Him. Thank you, Father, for your blessed word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.